date is April 8, 2003, approximately 18:50 hours. I'm Detective Rubright with Deputy Kelly, Deputy Roger Kelly at Wilbur and Roy Lane on the Alpha Ball shooting.
Okay.
And you've got me with you.
When do we start at?
Right at the beginning. What time did your shift start at?
2:30.
2:30, okay. And just working, maybe are you alone or do you have
a
partner?
No, I have a trainee right now.
You have a trainee? Who's your trainee?
Blanc. Dan Blanc.
Okay. Trainee is Dan Blanc. Okay. And?
Hey, we were over by the Westlake Hyatt when the call went out. So, told him to head this way, told him we were coming for training. We ended up getting off of Moorpark from the freeway.
Okay, why did you come this way in the first place? Any specific reason?
For the, it was a call of a suicidal subject, man with a knife.
Okay.
Seen slicing himself.
Suicidal subject, man with a knife.
The dispatch, the man was observed cutting himself behind the stuffed crust pizza.
Okay, and where is stuffed crust pizza?
It's in the 400 block of Moorpark Road.
400 block, so it's right along.
It's the same stuff that's in the
fire. Okay.
What carpentry is it?
400 block of that stuff crust. And they said he was in front of it?
They said he was behind stuffed crust pizza.
Okay, behind.
Cutting himself with a knife.
Okay.
And they said he had left the area and he was walking towards 7-Eleven, which is in the corner over at Bensville.
Walking towards Wilbur and Bensville. Okay. Towards the 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
Okay.
So we get off the freeway, go north on Moorpark Road, make a right on Brazil. There's four people standing at the corner. Our best stuff crust pizza on Brazil Street, flag us down. The guy tells us that he saw the guy sitting over behind the pizza place cutting himself with a knife, and then he left, ran north, and he pointed up Pennsfield, and then said he made a right into one of the businesses. That was the last that the guy saw it.
So your opinion is running?
Yes, we're running this way, north.
Running north on
Pennsfield.
On Pennsfield, then 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven, then the man said he made a right somewhere in the area, and he lost.
So, yeah, so he could be in all these apartments, you don't know.
So my training to turn around, and as we're turning around, I hear Vince Camus say that he had information, he got information from a person that the guy was in the Laurie Lane apartments, which is 555 Laurie Lane, right next to the letter Jason and stuff, those pizza. Heading eastbound, made a left going northbound on Laurie Lane. We parked probably about 200 yards up on Laurie Lane. Told my training we'll get out and walk the apartment complex as soon as we can find the guy. We were walking near the complex on the southwest side, in and out. I saw a couple people ask if they'd seen anybody all dressed all in black, that's the description, bleeding from the left arm. They said no. That was just another cop had asked the same thing. We continued looking through that corner, the southwest corner. We split up for a few minutes to check a few more areas, ended up getting back together.
So it was all in this
all
area?
Yeah.
555 I know inside, you go inside, there's much common than there.
Okay. So we end up, we're down there on the corner, we end up walking up this, the west driveway, the driveway that runs north and south on the west side of the complex. I see Deputy Camus pull his car in off the driveway here.
West of the 555 Laurie Lane apartment.
Between Laurie Lane apartments and Pennsville.
Okay. And you just see him pull his car in there?
Yeah, see him pull his car in right about where that one is right there.
And you guys are on foot.
We're on foot. We're on foot down in there. We're walking northbound. I see him pull his car in. I look to the right and I see a guy matching the description walking along this last building here. I yell at Camus on the radio. He's on your left.
Okay, because when Camus pulling in, is he like facing,
facing
my vehicle, which would be...
No, he's facing south.
But I mean, when you saw him, did he pull in this way?
I don't remember. I just saw him, his car come down the driveway. I don't know where
he's facing south.
He's facing south. I tell him he's on your left.
Okay.
Me and my trainee start running up there.
And meaning that he's walking this way.
I told Vince he's on your left. He was walking at the time the subject was walking northbound along this last building here. All in Wilbur.
Okay.
Vince gets out of his car, and me and Blanc start running up there. I lose sight of the guy when he gets up here by the street. They end up continuing to run across the street. Vince does. My trainee follows him. So I'm running across here. I didn't know which way the guy was going to end up going. So I hopped in Vince's car, backed it out, and I saw him running this way. So I pulled into the building at 187.
This is what
property management.
No, it's actually back there.
So a little further down. So it's blind.
Hang on.
That's what classic limousine service and...
Is this building right here?
Okay,
that's... the address is I think it's 301.
Yeah, that's 301.
It's this building right here.
You will
see the wing.
Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah.
So I drive straight back in there.
Because where did you... okay, you see...
I last saw him in the area here, and then ran across.
The
yeah, they both blocked and both ran across the street. He started heading this way. I backed the car out, came in here, go all the way back to the corner of the building behind Lane 7.
Were you still able to see?
See the guy at that point. As soon as I'm pulling into the back, I see him walking. There's a chain link fence on the other side. There's like a concrete little
can
block.
Can you go walk that?
Yeah.
Okay, so which one's your unit, right?
Vince's
unit. Okay, it's back there. Okay, so you're driving all the way back?
I'm all the way over.
Here behind this car. Okay, 187. When you're saying he, you mean
the suspect.
And you go all the way up there and you see
him walking along in between the fence where the fire plant is, and the fence is more like a concrete wash.
And you just see this walking casually.
He's walking.
Were you able?
Pretty
fast.
He's probably a little faster than we're walking right now.
Were you able to see him
with
a knife?
I didn't see anything in his hands. I saw him going by real quick to the bushes and everything. Wash. And that way. I lost sight of it. I went up here a ways and realized I'm not going to get through there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was at that point, that's when I told the dispatcher he was walking in the wash behind 187 East Wilbur. And they're going around the fence here.
And you didn't see Camus at this point?
Not at this point. When I saw Camus, I was walking down the wash. I couldn't see the guy anymore. Vince came up from somewhere on the other side of this building. He cleared up one side. Blanc was with him.
So you went about as far as maybe halfway down this?
No, I went all the way. This is where I got out of my car, and I walked from here.
Right, but I mean you said you walked that way and said, oh, I can't get out or something.
Yeah,
like
I think in here, I walked out and realized there's big things going to annoy and get through.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back and went through here.
Were you yelling at this guy, or did you say anything, or did you have your gun drawn?
I was yelling at everybody else. I had my gun drawn at this point, so I didn't know if he was going to be in the bushes right there.
Uh-huh.
Yelling at everybody else, you know, he may be in the bush here, maybe in the bushes. We scan the bushes, we can't find him.
Now, when you saw him backing up a bit, when you saw him very first time when you told Vince he, whatever,
yeah,
he's to your left,
yeah.
Did you see any weapons or anything?
No, he was probably from here to that patrol car away.
So you just saw a guy dressed in
black. I just saw a guy looked similar, and he looked over at the cop car and kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured that might be
okay. Try and visualize that this is Pennsville, okay? And that right there is the entrance. Well, we'll just say straight ahead is where you saw Vince pull in.
Right.
And say this is northbound, even though we know it's not. Say this is northbound, and you're that far away, you see the guy. How is it that Vince wouldn't have seen the guy, but you saw the guy?
It looked like he came from behind the building sets like this, kind of runs a long ways east
uh-huh.
and west. I think he came out from there. And right around the corner, when he came around the corner, the fence was right there.
Okay.
So Vince is pulling in, he probably didn't
so
see him.
So too far out of his peripheral.
Well, as he's pulling in, I don't know which way he came, but as he's pulling in, this guy, like, he just pops out from inside the building.
Okay.
So it was like,
so almost like behind him.
Well, not behind him, but right on the side. He's kind of right there, and all of a sudden,
okay.
They're right there. So we yell, he's on your left. Vince looks at him, the guy starts taking off, then picks out the voice, starts chasing him.
Okay.
And my trainee was running after him.
Mm-hmm.
The trainee kept going with Vince.
And you got your car, you pulled his hair.
Pulled in here, so
and then that's when you see him. Now, were you already out of the car when you saw him walking
no,
by?
No, I was driving up. I saw him walking by. I got out of the car, and I lost him in the bushes here.
And were you yelling? I mean, did you say you were yelling at that time, you know?
No, I yelled. I was on the radio telling him he's in the wash.
Okay. And that's all you said at that time?
At that time. I go that way, I lost sight of him, I realize I think he's there, so I get back through here, I hear Vince and everybody over there, I tell him he's last going this way in the bush.
You hear Vince on the other side, so on the east side?
Yeah, I can tell they were over there, and that's where Vince ended up, so.
Okay.
So I'm walking through here, found out this case is in the bushes. We end up looking at all the bushes, can't find him. We end up hearing a fool on the radio saying he's up here along the brick wall. There's a brick wall as you go along this block. There's a chain wall with the shadow.
Is the line going over there? Is there an easier way to go than hike it? Okay.
So at this point I get here, my guy out, I don't know if he's waiting here or where he's at.
At this point you can't even see him.
I can't see him. I have
you
no
see
idea.
Good. Okay.
So we're walking along here. That's why I hear Vince and Blanc over here. I tell him I saw him going this way. Start checking the bushes windows.
Uh-huh.
It was brighter at times, I couldn't really see inside, so being careful to see if the guy was in the bushes. In the bushes here, we don't see him. Oh, he's up here along the wall. It looks like he's up here along the wall. They came up that way, so I didn't think he got past, so I figured he ran that way. We ended up, three of us going through there, and there's really, on the side of that wall, there's really thick brush.
Uh-huh.
Fuller's on the radio, he's cutting himself, he's got a knife.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are you thinking Fuller is right now? Somewhere over there?
Somewhere up along this wall, 360
okay.
Along the wall. And we can hear him yelling. So we're hightailing up, we get to those bushes. Blanc goes in front, then Vince, then me. And I was yelling at Blanc, can't see him. But he didn't know where he was at. By the time we got up there.
And you're yelling this on the radio?
No, I was yelling at Blanc.
Oh, we get in front
you're
of him.
You're yelling at Blanc. Yeah, OC him. We get up there, he's not there. He's in the bushes, go look. He's walking along the grassy field up there. He's walking that way, so now he's heading.
Now we're going westbound, okay.
Right.
Alright, and then where do you go? Is this last you saw?
No, he continues.
Okay.
I think there's a fence up there and he kept walking, I can't remember. It looked like he was trying to hop the fence going northbound towards Galsworthy.
Mm-hmm.
We told him to stop, drop the knife. No. A couple times.
So you're all yelling.
Yeah,
we're
yelling, drop
the knife.
James stops. I know the guy. I've dealt with him a bunch of times.
Okay.
I know.
So you
James
recognize
stopped the knife.
When's the first time you recognized him?
When we're up in the field, but Fuller said it's a guy we've dealt with all the time. He lives on Los Feliz. His mom has a restraining order against him.
And he's yelling this to you guys? Or was this when they were
on? It was on the radio.
Oh.
I believe that was on the radio. As soon as he said, judging by the description, what I saw of him going here, when he said his guy lives on Los Feliz, his mom has a restraining order, I put it together who it was. And when we got in the field, I saw him in a
So then...
So you want to hike through there?
Well, it's such... I don't mind it as long...
Well, it'd probably be easier if we...
We
can drive up to where Jason's at. It'd be a lot easier.
Yeah. Well, yeah, if you know how to get there, because I don't know exactly where we're talking about, so... Going off tape. Back on tape. And then from here, back on tape.
We're coming out. He was already gone. Fuller was right here, and there was OC in the air. I could smell it.
Okay, Fuller was standing right here.
Fuller was standing on the side of the fence. We came up right here. I could smell the OC. We walked right through it.
Okay. And
I can't remember exactly what Jason said at the time. Cut the knife and sprayed him. It didn't do any good. I can't remember. He's just
and he's standing here.
Here I
and
think
where? Oh, the guy just.
He's. I don't see the guy. He's up here. We end up walking up here, and I can see him in the field up towards the shed.
Okay, so you see him way up there.
So we start hightailing after him. James dropped the knife. Started to try to hop the fence, but then he thought better of it. Started walking south on the field. We kept beyond the
fence. And he's trying to hop what fence?
There's either a wooden fence or a chain fence.
Oh, I see a foot wooden fence,
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, those are the houses that are on Galsworthy. So we're in the backyard of one of those houses. He decides not to hop the fence. We're yelling, drop the knife, stop. At one point, he makes the comment, just shoot me.
Okay.
He said that once.
And that's you and
me,
who?
Me, oh. Vince, and Block.
And you're still free yelling back
out. Drop the knife, drop the knife.
Okay.
I'm calling him by name because I know him. Drop the knife, and he makes the comment, just shoot me.
Okay.
So he keeps on going. We just keep yelling, drop the knife, stop. And he keeps going, and he's just working it. I mean, just slicing his arm.
And he's, could you stop?
Oh, yeah. He's just sitting there just... He's got the X-Acto knife. It's all bloody. He's stopping to get this kind of crazy look on his face and just goes to start.
Do you know how many times before, if ever, that you've contacted him for suicide attempts or anything like that?
I can't remember any times I've contacted him for being suicidal, but I've talked to him a million times. His mom used to report him as a runaway all the time because he'd be off his medication.
What was he on medication for?
I don't remember, to be honest with you.
He
was on some psych medication. And he'd go up and down. I don't know if he was bipolar, I don't know, but the way his behavior would be up and down. And then he would mix that with alcohol, which would make me even worse. He'd show up drunk, he'd be yelling at his mom, and we'd get there, and he'd, no, I'm sorry, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
We arrested him one night at his house, he had a warrant for 11 bucks. He'd been arrested a couple times for that. He'd been arrested for trespass. One night we dealt with him. His mom, he got his mom in a real tither. She complained of chest pain. The AMR took her off. She told him, because he was 18 at the time, she didn't want him there, basically, to leave. We told him not to come back. And later that night, I got 2:33 later that night, he went back and got arrested for trespass because he broke in the house. I know he's violated the court order a couple of times, but that's going to his mom's house.
I think I understand he's like 19 years old.
Yeah. She's disabled. She's out every time I see her. She's either in a wheelchair or got crutches or something. She's got some problems, which doesn't help her dealing with James the way he would act all the time. And he would just, you know, when he'd come home drunk, he'd be an ass and make a lot of noise and, you know, basically tell his mom he could do whatever he wanted. She'd end up calling us. So we've dealt with him a bunch of times. But I, to be honest, I can't remember if I've ever dealt with him in as far as a suicidal role, but I know I've dealt with him and it's
because
ended up being
behavior issues,
because
of mom reporting him as a runaway.
I personally never taken a 5150, and I don't think I can't ever recall going to a call where he's been.
Okay.
It's been a suicidal subject call.
Now, as a restraining order, did he live at the house?
He lived at the house when he was underage.
Mm-hmm.
When he got to be of age, he kept pulling the same stuff, and we had told him when he's 18.
Yeah,
he can go.
There's the door.
So that's what she did that night after she had the heart problem, the chest pains and heart problems. She went to the hospital. We told him don't go back in there. She didn't want you there. He ended up breaking that house.
Okay.
And I think her, the other crew in her phone got arrested for trespass.
Okay. And which was how long ago?
Oh, geez. 6 months ago.
Okay.
I can't
recall. Okay.
But I've talked to him a couple times. Since then, he's always been pretty mellow.
Okay.
I know one time I talked to him regarding an issue where he was trying to get to the second floor apartment over in Brazil to talk to this gal. Hardcore alcoholic. I think he was getting loose from her. He had gotten on one person's patio to jump up to the other patio or was coming down one or the other. He ended up dropping a phone card there and had the name James McDonough, which he also goes by that name. It's his mom's name. I found the card, and then the person that saw him described who he was, and I put one and two together, realized it was him, and I talked to him, and he seemed to be doing a little better.
Okay.
But, you know, always going out so much, but not really getting any trouble.
So, he also goes by James McDonough besides James Daniel?
Yeah, that was the name that was on that phone card.
Okay.
I called him, I said, yeah, it's my card.
Can we help you? No, just that incident that we are probably going to be out here for most of the night on, but...
The incident written here on the property board.
He
just came through here, just what you see,
right
that's
here.
It.
Well, actually, didn't even get a...
No.
Actually, it didn't even get on your property because the guy was on the other side of the fence, so...
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So,
we end up coming through there, so he goes that way.
Okay.
Tries to hop the fence. We're yelling at him, drop the knife. Found him by his name, Shane, drop the knife.
Mm-hmm.
He's refusing to.
Shoot me, just
he said,
shoot me.
I remember specifically one time, just shoot me. And then he would, we'd follow him, we'd keep following him, probably 15, 20 feet away. He's walking, then he stopped, like I said, and started
going. How many times
did
he spin? Is it always the same arm?
Right here.
He kept doing it right here.
Right here.
Okay, and at that time, did you see a knife in his hand then?
Yeah, he had the exact knife.
Okay,
he would have went to
have
a blade like a crab knife.
Okay, so
but
you could see definitely he had a knife on his... And that was the first time you saw it, right?
Yeah, that was the first time I saw it. When he was actually, I saw the knife when he jumped the fence, or he was trying to jump the fence. I think he may have taken a shirt off of it, I'm not sure.
Okay.
So he was kind of going over the fence, and I remember seeing the knife. I can't remember if he had it in his mouth or in his hand,
mm-hmm.
and he's trying to go over the fence.
Did you see when he was doing that with his arm? Could you see his arm bleeding?
Oh, it was covered with blood.
It was covered with blood.
It was already open.
Did you see Jason? I don't know him. Is that his first name? Okay. Did you see him at the time with blood on his arm then?
I saw him, but I didn't see the blood on his arm.
I'm not
he was
that
standing
time.
Somewhere
okay,
around here.
Okay, he's over here,
there.
But
the guy on the other side of
okay.
town.
I just want to make sure of that.
I'm not sure, but I don't know if the guy tried to hop the fence or not. That's where Jason cut him off.
He said
he had him right there with the fence bent down. That's where he had physically had a hold of him.
I'm just trying to figure out, because Jason is over here, but he's over there, but he had a hold of him over there.
I think it was... He said right there where the fence bends down.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if
he must have tried to grab him.
The fence, or either the guy tried to go over the fence and Jason grabbed him, or Jason grabbed him through the fence. I don't know.
Yeah, that way.
This is where Jason told me he physically had a hold of him.
Okay.
For a good, probably, he told me probably a good 20 seconds.
Okay.
And he was yelling at us. He's cutting himself. That's what we're trying to haul after the bushes.
Okay. All right. So then he's gone over there. He's seen with a knife. He's trying to hop the fence. He thinks twice about it. Doesn't hop the fence.
We're yelling at him, stop, with the knife down.
Put the knife down.
At one point, he yells, just shoot me.
Okay.
He keeps going, stops.
About 7-8 times he's been doing this thing.
To be honest with you, I don't remember. Several times.
Several times.
At one point here,
okay.
At one point down by the stone fence where he finally hopped over. I saw him working that knife.
Okay, so now we're talking, you're following
we're
him.
We're following him through this field.
Can we go that way?
You want to hop the fence?
Well, or either can we drive around and walk back? What would be better? Go where you're talking about.
We can go down and drive up that road to go to the little power station. We can walk back up to here. If you want to jump the fence, we can come back and get your car or something.
Okay, yeah, because whatever way would make the most sense.
It probably makes most sense if we started here. But
okay, but from here, could we, if we're going on the other side, are we going to eventually go into where James is right now?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, shall we just go that way and then come back this way?
That's, like I said, we can go to there's a little road right here by this section.
Okay, you show me. Going off tape? Okay, back on tape. We're at the fence line at the Shadow Oaks Apartments where you said that Deputy Fuller had actually had physical contact with him. You didn't witness it though, correct?
No.
Okay. So then after that, what happened?
I see Fuller for scenes. I don't exactly know what he said, just about the guy with the knife. He's cut himself. We start running up this way, and I see him.
Okay, when you're saying we,
we
mean
Vincent Blanc.
Okay, and at this time...
I don't remember if there's anyone behind.
Or
I can't remember, but
okay,
no, me, Vincent Blanc, for sure, because the three of us came over here.
And you see we're him?
We're moving this way.
Okay.
So
now we are walking westbound behind, I believe we're behind 187, right?
It's the Edison substation.
In the Edison substation. We're behind in the field area, which just north of us is the fence line for the backyard of... Okay.
Going this way. I end up seeing him somewhere just past that pepper tree. He's going that way. We went after him. Yelling at him to stop. Right here, I can see where that shirt is. I think it's been shirt off now. He's
He had the knife in his teeth, but it was in his right hand, but he looked like he was going to try to hop that.
Okay, so you see him over here by the fence, area, and there's a shirt hanging up that looks like a black shirt, right?
That may be the one you want.
Yeah, and it's hanging on a fence.
It looked like he was going to hop the fence. Thought better of it. We continue to follow him.
And you guys are, I'm assuming, still yelling at him at this time?
Stop. Stop the knife. Like I said, I was yelling, calling him by name. Just continues this way. We told Ford to go back, because he didn't have a less lethal. We asked him if he had a less lethal. He said no.
Mm-hmm.
Told him to go find one. I'm going to put out on the radio which direction we're going. People were responding. I told them we're in. We're behind the Edison plant. We're mm-hmm. in power line.
Okay. Okay, behind the Edison plant, you told dispatch where you were. You're giving out the location.
On the radio, someone said he was going to be coming out because right in here is where he said to shoot me.
Okay, right on here, which we're facing, what is this?
That's
the pool
center.
The pool center. To what are these apartments called?
I don't know what those are called.
Okay. It's where our victim
was. Just on the other side.
He's on the other side, so we're in between. The building in between the power plant and where the deceased is now at.
It's over here. This is where I see him. Go at it for one time. Like I said, I don't know how many times. He's just a few times on his arm. You see the arm's already bloody. It's laid open.
Okay.
I can't remember how close he got to the fence. I thought maybe he was going to hop the fence, but then he started going this way.
Okay.
So
you see him going running towards the fence like you think he's going to hop.
He's running. He's just kind of walking fast. I never actually saw him take off at a full sprint.
He's just walking,
he's walking fast.
And are you guys still, I don't mean to keep repeating myself, but are you still following him?
The whole time.
The whole time.
Once
okay.
We got here, he went this way.
Here. Okay.
And I'm putting out on the radio that he's going to be coming out on the road by the power lines.
Okay.
I'm trying to get someone to maybe head him off with less lethal. We're putting on the other.
And you're coming this way.
Down. You know, we need the less lethal up there. Just be advised we're right behind him. So
okay.
If they were shooting straight up, they'd be shooting straight up.
I don't see any. I'm looking for any kind of blood trails. I don't. Because we definitely don't want to walk through it if we see it. So that's what I was watching for the first time, but I didn't see anything. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, well, let's just stay on here because you can see a little bit of it. Yeah. He's dripping. He's bleeding pretty good.
At this point, we're going through here. We don't hear the kids in the school, or the pool, yelling what's going on because we're yelling at him, stop, stop, stop. And can we tell the kids, get out of the pool. Get inside, get out of the pool.
Mm, okay. Then he comes out this way.
He's about 20 yards in front of me. Michelle Crystal is down where that car is parked at. Maybe a little bit closer.
Well, Is this patrol car?
Yeah, we're patrol car.
Okay. And
he's walking her. She's got her gun up at gunpoint.
You guys are behind him?
We're behind him.
Okay.
So she's trying to cover him. We're behind him. He stays along. Walk along here.
Just, you know, for sure it was long hair. Okay, like I said, I don't want to walk right in it.
6-7. When he was back up there the first time I saw him actually going for his thing, mm-hmm. I pulled my baton out to see if I could maybe get a chance to hit him with it.
Uh-huh.
But he was doing that, and as soon as I pulled my baton out, he started moving.
Okay.
He kept moving. So,
that wasn't an option at the time
because I couldn't.
Neither was OC. Did you think of OC, or were you not close enough ever to use it?
I really didn't get that close. I pulled my stick out when I started to get closer towards him, being like from here to like the other side of the road. He'd start moving.
Okay.
So he ends up going right through here.
Back on tape, we're on the other side. We'll be actually behind the pool center and the apartments, right? Okay.
So he comes through. I was the first person to fall into the bushes. Then came behind me and the block was behind me. He comes here. I pull my stick out. We end up getting right here.
Okay.
At this point, looking over here, I can see Welty and a couple other people. I remember Welty because he had the left lethal shotgun running this way.
Okay, so Welty was running this way, and then it was you and Blanc and
Vince.
And Vince.
I don't know who else was coming with Todd.
Okay, but
you
did.
Todd did get the left lethal shotgun.
And you saw him with it.
He gets right here. He gets half up on the fence. Kind of like, his feet aren't over, but he's like his right feet is on the fence, and he's turned away from it. He's got the knife in his right hand. I had my stick out, and I was going to try to see if I could get to a point where I could knock the knife out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, like, hit him in the head, because I know that'd probably just make him more angry. I wanted to see if I could get one shot and try to take the knife. He's sitting there, stabbed himself a couple more times. Got off the fence.
Did he act like he was in pain at all? I mean, did he was just going out? I mean,
or just...
He just seemed totally trance, his behavior.
Yeah, like, the way he said, just shoot me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he wasn't yelling or screaming, and every time he cut himself, there was no indication of pain or anything.
Mm-hmm.
So he's sitting there. He's sitting there for a few seconds.
Okay.
I try to get to a point where I see if I can hit the knife out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps the knife away from me where I have to go through his head to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, I'm probably going to get one shot to try to do this. I want to hit the knife. And at that point, he gets down. He starts walking that way. Welty comes up. I yell, Welty, shoot him. Because I knew he had the less lethal.
Okay, so he jumps on
the
side.
He jumps on the side, goes that way.
You three.
I followed this way. I don't know where they went. I went right over here. Welty was over there. He gets to about right where that FI card is just holding on the ground.
You mean where that number is?
Right in that area. About
okay.
Where there's a little
Oh, I see. The FI beside the van. Okay.
Todd takes two shots at him with a West Super shotgun.
From over there.
From right over there. That's where the showcase is at.
Which is about, 15 feet or so from here, from where we're standing.
No, Todd was right on right in the corner of that building.
But from where he was sitting, because I'm trying to approximate it. Okay.
So as Todd's making the shots at him, right there where Captain Humphreys is, he's walking that way. I don't know if it hit him or not. I didn't see him flinch or anything. But he was moving the whole time, and he's moving away, so I don't know.
He was walking the whole time.
He was walking away
pretty
fast.
You would have never known it.
I don't know if he got hit.
Mm-hmm.
I hopped the fence here.
But did you have a visual when you saw him shooting? When you saw him walk?
I heard the shots go off, and I could see him as he's starting to make the corner. So when the shots went off, I still had visual on him. He didn't act like he got hit.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he got hit.
And I see a van parked here. Did that not hide your view of him at all?
No, not at all. I'm standing right here. When
okay,
I saw him,
so you
starting
can
to make
see
ready. Bam, bam, two shots.
Okay, and did you hear him say, Welty say anything to him before he...
No, because I told Todd, shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
I told just shoot him.
Okay.
And he, bam, bam, and then we yelled out to everybody that... Basically, that was a beanbag,
mm-hmm.
to make sure there was no sympathetic fire.
Right, okay.
So end up hopping the fence.
Uh-huh.
And you want to hop the fence here?
Okay, you hop the fence.
Right here. It's pretty high.
No, we should I don't want to go anywhere near where the part of the crime scene might be.
Uh-oh.
Off tape once again. Well, all right, so you're...
We're going to the fence. Walk straight there. Just follow the path that he took. Right to here, he makes the right. By the time I get around the corner, he's about right where Butterfield is right now.
Okay, I see where Butterfield is.
He's right, right up in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Continue after him.
Okay, so you're walking down.
I'm walking pretty fast, trying to catch up to him.
Like about what speed? Like what?
Probably,
and that's about the speed he's going?
Probably a little slower than that. We're trying to go down on.
Okay. And then, and how far ahead would you say? 10, 15, 20 feet?
15 feet by the time we caught up to him.
Okay.
And continue, you know, stop.
And stop. Drop the knife.
Drop the knife, change, stop. And, you know, hit everything. I'm trying to get him to stop.
Okay.
It's like he's going one ear out the other.
Okay. And does he even turn around and go?
He's like this the whole time.
So he's still looking at
us. He's acknowledging he's there.
And he's acknowledging what he's hearing.
He's not, he can see us, but he's just not doing what we're saying.
Okay. And you've had past contact with him.
Past contact with him.
So you know.
He kind of gets like an altered state kind of.
And so with past contact, you know, he knows
he was,
what's going
yeah.
on. I mean, with the hear and hearing.
And what I'd seen there.
And 1935?
The way he was acting when I saw him up there in the field, when I was close enough to him, I knew he was a lot different than I'd ever seen him before.
Like in
just
what
as
way?
Far as more determined, as far as like just, I saw what he was doing, I saw the way he was acting. He wasn't acting like he normally does, even if he was UI.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen him drunk, I've seen him high on other things, and he didn't act like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew he was, there was a little more going on in his head, that he was more determined to do what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like I said, he'd look at us, acknowledge us, but like it was in one ear out the other.
Okay, so almost like in a trance?
Yeah.
I don't want the words to
yeah, basically like he was at the point where he had the mindset that he was going to do what he was going to do.
Okay.
He walked along the whole time, still here, looking at us. Acknowledging we're there because we're yelling at him, he's looking at us, and he just keeps on going. We get to about right in this area. Vince yells at him a couple times, stop, stop, and he keeps going.
And where are you in?
Over in, say, this area. This is right over top. This is my left.
Okay, Vince was to your left. You were right there.
Right.
And where was Blanc?
He was back more this way.
Okay. And did all three of you have your guns drawn?
I didn't have mine out.
You didn't have your gun at that time?
I did not
have mine out. Okay. But Vince, did you notice that
Vince did.
And how about Blanc? Or did he?
I don't recall.
Okay.
And at this point, just there, Vince goes and gets in front of him. And this was right about here. Actually, I think more right about right here. Vince wants to get ahead of him right here. Look, I can't let you go in there.
Okay, because this is fine. I mean,
Vince puts himself between, pretty much even between the guy, who's actually back here a little more, puts himself between the guy, like right here, gets up even with him. Look at him. I can't let you, he's holding a gun for him. I can't let you go in there.
Are they about this far apart? Maybe further?
He was actually more close to
the
further. Right about there. I can't let you go in there.
Okay.
He said it to him a couple of times.
Okay.
He keeps on walking.
And you're still further here and
back? We're back in here.
Okay.
He ends up, he's still like this.
Mm-hmm.
Vince tells him, I can't let you go in there a couple times. Then he takes a couple shots at him. And I didn't see, I think I saw one hit the wall. I'm not sure, but I didn't see, I couldn't see if it hit him. He really didn't do anything. He didn't move.
He didn't react.
He didn't really react. He kept on going. I could see it. I figured it probably hit him because he was kind of hunched over a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He got about right in here. He just kept on going. He got right in here. I was over close to the curb.
Okay, I can't quite hear because okay.
I was over more by the curb. Vince was standing probably about on the other side of Mike, right in that area.
Okay, so Vince is more.
Vince is right about where Mike's at.
And is Vince still moving towards
still
him?
Moving, still moving with him. He fired a couple rounds here, I think two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I thought I saw one hit over here. I'm not sure. He didn't act like he initially had been hit.
But
and when he started
kind of
going, he started
kind
of hunching over those, but he kept going.
Okay. And where was the knife? Where was his knife at that time?
Still in the right hand.
So he had it in his right hand, but was he going like this towards Vince, or did he have it down, or did he have it where?
He didn't go that way. He just kept walking.
No, but I mean, the very first time when Vince was saying, I can't let you go in there, Where was the guy's knife at the time?
He had it in his right hand. I don't remember if he still had it down by his wrist.
Well, if he had it up here, if he had it down
there. He had it in his right hand. I could see his right hand. I can't remember exactly what it was at, but I saw
the
knife in his
right hand.
Do you
remember if it was up like this, or down, or do you not remember?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I know he still had the knife. Like I said, he was walking this way. He was still turned. You could see the knife, and he still, he had his hands like closed. He didn't have it like this.
Mm-hmm.
It was down here somewhere.
Okay.
He's still walking like this, looking at Vince. Like I said, Vince is even, I can't let you go in there.
And he meant by saying that.
What I believe he meant by saying that was
in the school
because there's kids there. So as soon as he said, I can't let you go in there, that's what my mind was thinking. He doesn't want him to get anywhere near that pool where those kids are at.
Okay. Did the guy, when he was walking up here, did he make it movements like he was going to go in there? Or did it?
He just continued walking this way.
Like he was going to go
this
straight.
He was taking a straight path. Right up
there. Okay, did the guy say anything? I mean, was he ever saying anything?
The only time I really remember him saying anything was just shooting me over there.
But nothing from that time?
I don't really remember him saying really anything.
Okay.
Just the one thing that sticks out in my mind that he said was up there was just shoot me.
Okay, and that was way up there. And then over here, you didn't hear anything. Was he looking
right at Vince.
Because
Vince, like I said, I was on the right, Vince was more on the left, and he was on the side. Vince put himself in a position in front of the guy, not like directly in front, but between here and there.
Right.
I can't let you go in there.
And how many feet away would you say they were?
Right about here.
Okay, so maybe 7 feet.
You just kept on going.
Okay. Okay, and he was looking back at him.
He was looking back, and he acknowledged Vince's presence.
Okay, and as he's moving away, were you able to see the knife then in the position that it was in?
He's right about here. Back here, Vince. I can't let you go. He continues to move. That's when Vince shot at him.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept moving. Vince stayed in one spot. And then after a few feet, that's when he kind of, you can see where it kind of affected him.
Mm-hmm.
He caught up to him. He kept on going.
And is Vince passing him by this time?
No, he never passed him. The only point where he was between him and this building was right down here. When he confronted him and said, I can't let you go in there.
Okay.
He said that to him a couple of times.
And so when he came back up to this point here,
He shot him right there.
Right, he shot him twice there, but when he came back up here, two or three times, you said.
Yeah,
Did Vince say anything then, or do you remember?
I don't remember.
Say anything?
I do not remember.
Okay, and then what happened next?
He just continued going this way.
Mm-hmm.
Vince got about right there, and just continued here. Two more rounds into him.
So Vince got up here, and then he,
at this point, you can see he's affected.
He's going down.
He's kind of hunched, and he's like labor breathing. I can't remember if he's not really screaming, but you can't really, like moaning. And then he got up to about right where
he is.
No, right about there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Vince fired the second
got a
second set of shots at him.
How many times did you hear? Heard it.
Probably fired about 7 or 8 shots total.
Okay. And
that was about 3 or 4 here, 3 or 4 here.
Would you say, did you notice any movements on his part that would have indicated that he was heading that direction, or did it just appear that he was heading up this road?
He was continuing to go straight. I didn't see him start heading that way. That's when Vince put himself between him and the guy, or between the guy and the school, and that's when he told him, I can't let you go in there. He just walked right past him. He kept going straight, and he didn't go that way.
Okay.
So he just kept going straight. Vince hit him again right there with the second volley of shots.
Mm-hmm.
He fell straight down. Right up there where that pool of blood is,
mm-hmm.
He was laying face down right there. His left arm was out like this, and you could see those all the cuts, and his right arm was kind of under him like that.
Mm-hmm.
His head was that way. We couldn't see the knife. We had no idea what was at.
Mm-hmm.
He was still kind of making some breathing, mm-hmm. making some movement. So we just kind of sat there for a second, just held him, you know, just kept the hole in there for a while. I gloved up, because we didn't know where the knife was at, and he was still kind of moving, so I grabbed him by the feet. He was face down. Pulled him off. We found where the knife was at.
Mm-hmm.
And kicked it off over there, away from him. And then we left him.
Okay. So he was on his stomach, and you guys
pulled
him. Pulled him down. So that's why there's a trail of blood.
I pulled him down to get him off the knife, because we didn't know it was there.
Mm-hmm.
But we had no idea where the knife was at. He's still moving. I don't know if he's going. Because I couldn't see it in his hand, but I didn't know where it was. It wasn't laying out somewhere.
It was underneath him.
When I pulled him, and he pulled out, and his arm went out. The knife ended up rolling out of underneath his right arm, so it was underneath his chest.
Okay. And did you pull your gun out after you had been shooting the first round? Have you ever had your gun out?
I put my gun back in when we were up there when I went to get my stick and I took it out again.
Okay. Anything else that Vince might have said or anything else that I have asked you?
I distinctly remember him telling him a couple times, I can't let you go in there.
Mm-hmm.
And what that led me to believe was in the school where all the kids were.
Right.
Because we had told all those kids to get out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
We're assuming they're doing what we're telling them, because if those cops get out of the pool, they're all going to come this way, and now he's on this side, we know.
Okay. And wasn't it Vince specifically that you said that said when we were over there?
I'm on the radio telling people where he's going. Vince is yelling at the kids, get out of the pool, get out of the pool, it's cops, get out of the pool.
Okay. All right, can you think of anything else, or anything that I didn't ask you, or anything that you feel you should add that I haven't, I think you covered it all, but I just don't know if I might have missed something where I needed to cover it. Well, okay, we're going off record. Okay, just one other important question that I thought of. Was there any time, you said that he never said anything of a threatening nature, but was there any time that he ever looked like he was threatening Vince or you or anybody with the knife?
No, I kept my distance from him. I didn't really feel threatened by him.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the look I'd seen, the tapes I've seen in the training with the suicide by cop, he just had the look on his face like he was determined.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
now you said you've known in the past that he's had alcohol issues. How about drugs?
He's been arrested for 11
times. Okay. Did he, and you said he was in a total different mind frame than you've ever seen him before, that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you recall, looking back on this now, if he appeared like he was UI in any way? I know you weren't able to do your...
No, I didn't really...
sort of test on him, but just from a distance, were you able to see
he just had the look on his face like he was just determined on what he was going to do, what he was going to do. And he, like I said, when he would, it didn't even faze him.
Okay.
Didn't even faze him.
Okay. And did you see Welty anymore? When you said you saw him on that 1-5,
I saw Welty was in the fence. And I don't remember if I saw, I know I saw Boneboy run up the street.
But you never?
At this point, I don't remember seeing Welty.
Okay, but you never saw Boneboy, because it's Boneboy.
I think he had one with him. He was way down.
But he never got up here.
When I last saw him, we were in the area right about here where all the major friends guys were. He was way down there about where Steve Mayo was walking up.
Okay, so at that time, it wasn't really an option.
At that point, from where he was at, he was the only person on bus that was not an option at that point.
All